that you raise. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear the Word of God preached to the men's group here at the church a couple weeks ago. And the speaker is Pastor Ralph Williams, my good friend, excellent preacher and teacher of the Word of God. And it was our privilege to have him preaching the Word at Island. So you're going to hear this message here today and probably tomorrow as well. And then we will get into my next sermon here, which was just preached over the weekend out of this Matthew 24 series, even though it's in Romans. What will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the world? Men giving up. So that's what's coming up later in the week. That was my sermon on Sunday. If you'd like to hear that, you can go to our YouTube channel and you'll see it uploaded on there. Island Community Church YouTube page. But now here in the Word of God, now let's hear from Brother Ralph Williams. Once again, for more info on this ministry and this church, I encourage you to go to our website. Our statement of faith is on there. 11 years worth of preaching is on there. islandcommunitychurch.net. Let's go to Pastor Ralph now and hear the Word of God as he preaches it.
That this guy is the one. And in reality, he's going to be the one, all right? He's going to be the one that will drive them to a place called hell. In verse 5, Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. In other words, he said, don't listen to the false teachers. I let you know beforehand. He says in verse 6, and now you know, I love this, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And again, he's talking about the Antichrist. And look, he's saying that the Holy Spirit is holding back. And listen, it's not going to occur. We won't leave here. He won't be revealed until God says it's time. Amen. We just talk about a dear friend of ours, a pastor. And listen, God took him out of here, took him home to heaven. And we wonder sometimes. He's got a family. He's got kids. He had a pastor. Was a pastor of a church that was growing, and then all of a sudden, bam, he's gone. And everybody sits back and they wonder, how could this be? And guys, it could be because God said it's time. Amen. And look, what we know is that our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not always his thoughts, and he does what he does because he does it. So in the midst of it, we pray for his family, we pray for his church, and we come alongside of them. But ultimately, God's will was done. Amen. Yes. He says in verse 6, and now you know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery, he says, of iniquity, and he's talking about this mystery of lawlessness, ultimate lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And again, pointing toward the Holy Spirit. And look, we know that he's in control of all things in regard to God's timetable. And when he says it's time, guess what? It can happen right now. All things have been put in place. And while I'm yet preaching this word, God can call us out. Right. And look, it would be okay with me. I don't even need to finish. But he's saying the Holy Spirit's in control of that, that it's only going to happen in God's time. He says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. And again, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume. And I love this because he's fast forwarding to the point of him being revealed. And he's saying the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And listen, he's talking about his glory and it's true. And I love this, man, because he's simply going to speak the words. There will be no actual physical fighting. He will simply say that Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all you who are following him have to be obedient to my truth. And now it's time for all of you to go to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're going to have to be obedient what he says. He says, even him who's coming, verse 9, after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And listen, we know that he's going to apparently do some type of death and resurrection, again trying to copy what God did, and even that's going to be a lie. It's going to be false. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because he said they receive, here it is, not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And again, another simple verse that a child can understand. And look, the reason why they're going to go to hell is because they refuse to hear, to receive, or to listen to what God is saying in regard to his son so that they could be saved. They think they're on the right track. They think, I know more than what you know. And listen, you Bible thumpers, you don't have a clue. I'm going to follow this man. And this man they will follow all the way into hell. In verse 11, he says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And guys, think about where we are now. We know he did that with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's heart was already hardened. And then he hardened his heart even so he said, you'll never believe. And we think about folk who are out here during our time. And listen, they're believing a lie. And I think about the ladies that have a child inside of them. And there's another heartbeat inside of them. And when they say, this is my body, and I'm going to do with my body what I want to. And you try to reason with them and say, well, lady, that's another heartbeat. That's not yours. And they shout you out and say, well, I don't care what you're saying because this is my body. And if I want to dispose of anything in my body, it's okay. And you got folk that are born male or born female. And they tell me that, look, I hear what you're saying, preacher. But you need to know inside my heart, I know as a man, I was actually supposed to be a woman. So I'm going to go ahead and let them chop me off. And I'm going to fix this thing so that I can be what I was originally supposed to be. And you say, well, sir, God made you what he wanted you to be. And in essence, they're telling me that God made a mistake, that what you're reading in his word is wrong, and I'm going to fix the error, the same thing that the Antichrist is going to try to do. And he too will be unsuccessful. And then you think about all the guys that are being sold a bill of goods and believing a lie and believing it all the way to hell. And Pastor, you think about these folk and even some of our lawmakers. And you said that now these ought to be intelligent folk. They ought to be educated folk. And they ought to listen to at least common sense. But man, what we're finding in our time and what John and what Paul found in his time, that common sense is not so common anymore. And the longer we're here, the more we see how apparently educated men can be fools as well. He says in verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And they too will be condemned, and they too will be doomed. People ask me all the time, they say, well, Brother Ralph, what do you think is the fix for all of this that we're seeing? How it's escalating? What should we do? And my answer is, you need to pray. And if the Lord puts somebody in your proximity, you need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because the only fix for this mess that we see and will continue to see is going to be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen, I hope, I pray for a revival. I'm hoping it happens. But right now, I see no signs of it. But there's a revival in my heart, and I need to tell somebody about the fix for whatever ails them is Jesus Christ. And look, I'm not going after their sin. I'm not saying stop doing this. I'm not even showing them a 12-step program. I'm showing them a one-step. Believe on Christ.
That's right.
Listen to what the word says. And let him fix your soul. And then whatever else needs to be done, he's going to take care of that as well.
One-step
and
program.
He would. Flip back to 1 John. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 3. John writes, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And listen, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And guys, we don't never need to lose sight of that. That what we have living within our very being is God, the Holy Spirit. And guys, because of that, you have some understanding and some wisdom that the wisest folk in this world don't have. That you know the secret of life and death. That with Christ you are alive, and without him you are dead. And there are some brilliant folk who don't even know that. And here you are, part of the rank and file, and you know that. And that's the message that they need to hear. And listen, I don't care if they're in the White House or they're in the outhouse. They need to hear about the blessedness of one Jesus the Christ. He said they are of the world, and he's talking about unbelievers. He's talking about God's enemies. "Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." And again, and right now, the world is trying to inundate even believers. In fact, we're their mission, that they want us to believe as they believe. They want us to use different, various verbiage. They want us to say that if somebody's not satisfied with what they are in regard to gender, that they can change it. If somebody wants to not be anything, they can change that. And listen, they even want to inundate our children. And look, a child will come to a parent and say, "Mom, I know I was born a boy and I'm only 7, but in my heart I feel like I should be a girl." And the parent, who's supposed to be over the child, will look at their child and say, "Honey, you're right. Let's take you to a doctor and begin to get this process straightened out." And listen, these are supposed to be parents of children. And then they're leading us down that path. And again, that strong delusion that we saw in Thessalonians, we see it even now in our time. And parents are believing this thing, and they're believing it only because they have not the Spirit of God. And folk will look at you crazy, look at me as if I'm crazy, and I'm sitting back, "Lord, how could this be?" And again, he says, "Brother Ralph, it's because they don't know me." And I take that for an answer, and guess what? Because that is the answer. It's just that cut and dry. Know Jesus, you will have no sin. If you have no Jesus, you will die in your sin. He says in verse 5, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. He says, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And listen, not just the word we love, but it ought to show in our actions. And the other side of that coin is verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And by the way, consequently, if you don't know him, you're going to be dead because you don't know him. Here in verse 10, he says, it's love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And look, that word simply put means a satisfactory payment. Nobody else could have paid it, so God had to pay it himself. He provided himself a sacrifice, and he did that because he loved us, not because he had to. Beloved, if God so loved us, verse 11, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love, I love this, is perfected in us. In other words, he matures us moment by moment and day by day. And guys, by the way, sometimes you will be the only God or Jesus that anybody will see. And we need to look at ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're walking in the light as he's in the light, so that when folks see us, they'll realize and recognize there's something different from us than those of the world. He says in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And look, by the way, guys, what's on the inside, it ought to show itself on the outside. Amen. And if folk are seeing something other than God or Christ in our actions, then we need to sit down and get right with God to make sure that we're walking in his light. He says in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And look, not just testify with our mouth, our living ought to show it as well. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he and God. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, verse 17 begins, our love is made perfect. And he's talking about being made mature here, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And guys, when God comes back, and he is going to come back, he's going to take us out. And when he comes back to judge the world once and for all, we don't have that concern, because we know that he's in our heart. We know he's our Lord and Savior. And I was talking to my wife the other day, and we're talking about when he comes back to take the church out, that there's going to be a whole lot of folk that are going to do a boo when we go up, because they will still be here, because they've been playing around with this thing called Christianity for so long that they don't even realize that they're not right with the true and living God. And listen, I'm saying this to myself, and I'll say it to you as well. Make sure you're on the right side of God's equation. Make sure in your heart of hearts that you know him as Lord and Savior. Make sure that you have received him for the salvation of your soul and the payment of your sin, and don't mess around and be caught left here when God comes for his church, because you want to keep playing around with the mess of this world. Make sure. And listen, it doesn't much matter what you look like to me or the pastor or to anybody else. You need to make sure you look right to him and all right to him. Because it would be a terrible thing for you to go to church every Sunday, to come to this study, to come to Bible study, and know in your heart of hearts that you're not really part of his church, and be left here when the church is taken out. I'm not talking to nobody in particular, but I'm talking about everybody in particular, including myself, that we need to reassure in our hearts that we know him as Lord and Savior. As we wrap up, look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear, he says, has torment. And he's talking about worry, and there are folk right now, man, that, what happened? The doctor gave me a bad report, and what's going to happen here, and what's going to happen there? We got to believe that God's got us regardless of the circumstance. He goes on, he said, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And guys, please don't forget that. That man, we didn't look so good or were acting so good. The guy said, oh, I got to have them in my kingdom. No, we were on the road called sin and having a great time at it. And God plucked us off that road and said, I'm going to make you one of mine. And many times we were kicking and scratching because we wanted to keep doing the things we were doing. But God said, no, you are mine. He touched our heart, and he blessed our heart, and he put his spirit in our heart. And now, hallelujah, we salute him for blessing our souls with salvation because of his love for me. Man, sometimes I think about some of the mess I was involved in prior to salvation. And man, I thought I could never turn it loose. I thought I would miss it so. And man, all I can do now is almost weep when I think about some of the things that I was involved in, and weep with tears of joy because God saw fit to save a wretch like me. He says in verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And guys, this points a lot of times to some things that we might have in our heart. Maybe somebody did something wrong. Maybe somebody did something wrong to you years and years ago, and you just can't turn it loose. Maybe it was a parent that wasn't right. Maybe they didn't treat you right. Maybe it was a husband or a wife that you're no longer with. And you're holding on to that mad in your heart. And what God is saying is that give it to him. Stop being hated or sending hatred toward them. And allow his spirit to fill your heart with his love. And because he loved you, we can love even the unlovely. Because believe it or not, that's what we were to him. Guys, God is love. And indeed, he has shed his love abroad in our hearts. And let us do the job that he has left us on this earth to do, which is to share his love to those who don't know his love. And I dare say, guys, you'll be glad you did. Because once you give it to them, whether they receive it or reject it, is no longer on you, but it's between God in them. And by the way, as God's children, we can do no less. Amen?
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this ministry moment. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us for a few minutes to look at a few verses of scripture and, Father God, seeing them for what they truly are. And I pray, Father, by your spirit that you'll continue to touch us and bless us and minister to us. And Father God, help us to see even the wrongness of some of the things that we do and know that it's covered by the rightness that your son has done. Continue to be a beacon of light for this church and for this pastor, Father God. Bless them to stay in knee deep in your word no matter what comes down the pipe. And Father God, allow them to continue to teach and preach your truth. And Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, cover us by your covering and give us traveling mercies and just simply bless in a mighty and a special way. Lord, as we give you all the honor, all the praise, in all the glory, in all that we do and say and are able to do and say, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, and let God's church say, amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Take it all. Take it.